The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along, Monday morning, time for a look forward to the Champions League midweek matches in the company of Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern. You both well?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Excellent. Quick check back on the Premier League weekend, which sees Liverpool top of the table on 74 points after maybe an edgy win over West Ham. Wasn't easy, no one predicted it would be. Chelsea and Man City both winning as well, so a good weekend for the punters.
In all fairness to you, you say that. I thought they won pulling up.
It wasn't difficult, but it was just a bit edgy. I just had a sense of nerves.
2-1 is always a scoreline that can or can't, but
they didn't really do an awful lot.
No, once they took the lead, I mean, it was all swung in about 2 minutes, and when he hits the crossbar, Carroll. And it goes down the other end, and they get the penalty at the other end.
Yeah. One of the favourite things I liked about the weekend as a neutral was seeing Manchester United fans complaining about the amount of penalties that Liverpool get this season. Short memories. If it's, you know, if it's Stoke or someone complaining, I could take that. A Stoke fan, I can't take that from a Man United fan. Surely. Penalties for the big teams, I'm not sure. Derek, are you any more convinced today?
Well,
2-1, about around the 2-1 mark for the Premier League title.
Well, a bit shorter than that, I think, aren't they, Lee? 13-8.
13-8, just gone. Yeah.
It's definitely up for grabs, isn't it? I mean, you know, they've got the two games, Chelsea and Man City, to come, and they're everything. The trouble, my worry is that Man City can afford to draw at Anfield and still win the league. That's the big worry. If City had to win, you know, I'd be more confident, but I still think it's in City's hands.
Well, theoretically it is, but. Whose position would you sooner be in?
City's, would you?
I would. If you give me a choice, of that, I'd be in Liverpool's.
Would you? 4 points ahead with about two games played more.
Yeah, but also they can. City, how convinced are you when City go away?
Yeah, there are question marks, but they're a better squad, aren't they, Ron? They're a better squad.
But are they a better team? I mean, at the moment now, I've said all along, if Gerrard or Suarez got injured, then that swings the balance completely, I think.
Yeah.
Although the others have now picked up the pace and all that.
Do you know what, Ron? I think I'd rather, I mean, especially from a betting point of view, I'd rather be in Chelsea's in a way.
Well, Chelsea's
right. They're running, apart from the Liverpool game, they should win all the games, and then the Liverpool one, see what happens with that. But he's got a great record in games against other top teams, hasn't he, Mourinho, in the Premier League?
Well, they're still 7-1, aren't they? Yeah. That's just what we said last week. The prices are ridiculous.
So the 2 points behind Liverpool, obviously, they've got the game ahead of Man City like Liverpool are.
But do they convince you?
They just win, don't they? Yeah.
They do at home. How many home games have got Chelsea?
They've got Sunderland at home, Norwich at home, and the other games are Cardiff away, Swansea away, and Liverpool away. So they should
win. There's only one game out of there they might not win. Theoretically, they might not win any of them. But they might not win at Liverpool. But you wouldn't back against them getting a draw.
No, you wouldn't. So you could give, you know, of the final five games for Chelsea.
Liverpool have got the two biggies. Who's the other three Liverpool have got?
All against bottom side, but winnable.
Home at Newcastle. Newcastle, last game of the season. They're away at Norwich.
If they need to beat Newcastle, last game of the season.
That's pretty much a gimme, that, isn't it, the way they look at it? Palace and Norwich away from home, around the other two.
Palace looks the hardest.
Yeah, but Palace might be safe by then. Listen, this Chelsea's 7-1 race. On Sunday, when City play Liverpool, right, that game could easily finish in a draw. Mm-hmm. If Chelsea win their game at Swansea, what price is he then?
I was thinking this exactly. You know, it's not the right price, is it, Derek?
No, it's totally wrong.
Like you say, you need, you know, the Liverpool City game finishing a draw, then they're top of the table.
Yeah, I think with all the ifs and buts, I think what they're probably looking at is you've got two teams that are better placed than them to win it.
Yeah, and Chelsea still in Europe.
They wouldn't be top of the table, would they? They'd still be second and goal difference from Liverpool.
Yeah, second and goal difference.
Both been 75 if Liverpool draw that. Yeah, but then obviously Chelsea go to Liverpool as well. Yeah, I mean, it just looks a bit big, 7-1.
It is. It's massively big.
Here's one for you though. If it did get into that state, what price Chelsea going to Liverpool and Torres getting the winner?
Oh God, Ron.
I know. Hey,
don't say that.
Well.
Are Liverpool fans still love him, though?
No.
That's me better that week. But they've got to be all square.
Yeah. There's a bit to go, yeah.
You asked me the question, I'd sooner have Liverpool's position now than any of them.
Right. Okay. Yeah, top of the table.
Because they're playing above the ground. They're all flying at it now. And they, you know, I hear all the talk about they could be a top European side next year. Not with that defence, they won't be. They've got to get some defenders. But the other players are covering it up big time.
Yeah, not kidding. Yeah. Yeah, they can always be relied upon to score more than the opposition, can't they? Top four finish, Arsenal still odds on, 4-6, Everton 11-10, Man United 33, Tottenham 14.
By the way, how good were they yesterday?
Very good, weren't they?
Yeah. Everton were terrific yesterday. Arsenal were awful, yeah. Awful.
I mean, you look at, a little bit like Liverpool, Ron, when you look at Everton's form, there's no way you should really oppose them. They scored 3 against Arsenal, 3 at Fulham, 3 at Newcastle, 3 at home to Swansea, beat Cardiff 2-1 before that. The last defeat was the FA Cup defeat to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And the only Premier League defeat that they've had, there was a back-to-back home defeats away from home, Tottenham and Chelsea, lost to Liverpool on the road. But they've just been so strong at home this year, haven't they? Winning games for fun at home at the moment. I think they've won, well, they won now 7 on the trot. They've won them all fairly.
And by the way,
They'll
all be talking about signings of the season and whatever and whatever. Where would he rank in that, Gareth Barry?
He's done great for them, hasn't he?
You know, I've played well for him, you know.
Just a perfect player for a club at the right time, wasn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
You know, kind of just fitted in there, just what they needed.
He's got a bad habit of keep getting it and giving it to somebody else on his own team.
Yeah. I suppose it kind of, you look, they haven't missed the powerhouse international force that is Marouane Fellaini.
Yeah.
Because of him.
He's huge.
Finally.
Derek, I've got to say, at this point in time, before anything goes wrong, Fellaini, Arsenal, Man United, you're right about most things this season.
You know what, Ray?
Your whole ethos and your whole shtick is being ruined here, Derek.
I've never been wrong about anything in football apart from Yaya Toure. That's the only man who's proved me wrong. I thought he was crap and he's brilliant. That's the only one.
By the way, Derek, this isn't a sudden inspiration that came on during the summer holidays last year when you went,
true,
I've got all this.
True.
You've been saying this for 5 years.
If you throw enough at the wall, some of it will stick. Is that what you're saying, Rob?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah.
hold on. This is the man, me, this is the man who was telling everybody Torres was useless. This was Jordan's Liverpool pomp. This was the man who was telling everyone Wenger was useless about 5 years ago. This is the man who said Fergie would retire at the end of the season, the time he actually did. Oh, come on. I'm right on everything.
I think Ron's got a slight point, though.
Yeah.
Wenger did all right getting in the Champions League all those seasons. He still might do. And the run-ins for Arsenal, Everton, by the way. Everton got that game in hand, of course. They're away to Sunderland. The game in hand is against Crystal Palace at home. They've got Man United at home, Southampton away, Man City at home, and Hull away. So not the easiest of run-ins. Arsenal, they've got the FA Cup semi-final, of course. Then they've got West Ham at home, Hull away, Newcastle at home, West Brom at home, and Norwich away. You'd rather have Arsenal's run-in, Ron, wouldn't you? But obviously you'd rather have equal games as well.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me about Arsenal is they look as if they've lost all sort of belief.
Mm.
Looking
manager,
at them yesterday.
And the manager as well.
Well,
he was crestfallen, wasn't he?
I hope in the semi-final he starts with Ramsey and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, goes for it.
Well, at least he puts some energy and adrenaline into the side.
Mm.
Well, he might have to do that because he can't play, can he, Flamini? He's
gone out, right.
He's suspended.
Yeah.
So, but they look to have. And by the way, Derek, you can have any centre for any player. I've never been wrong about German centre halves.
You rated that Beckenbauer, didn't you? That guy.
Yeah. Rickenbauer. Who was that? Don Rickenbauer.
Rickenbauer. What a great nickname for.
There was one called Don Rickenbauer, and he used to be a movie star in Europe.
It is absolutely useless.
That's a great nickname for Mertesacker, though. Rickenbauer.
Rickenbauer, yeah. I tell you what, I don't know what he does.
No.
You watch, as the ball comes to him, his first thought is, I'm going to give it the other centre half. If it's in the air, he's got that bad habit of not jumping and heading it. If it goes over the top of him, it's good night, Vienna.
Yeah, yeah.
He battled himself to death, didn't he, the right back? Sanya.
Yeah, he's done all right, hasn't he,
Sanya? Yeah, he was running up and down, and you know, obviously he's got designs on moving, hasn't he? His contract's up.
Yeah, yeah.
City's supposed to be fancying him. There you go.
They look a little bit short on confidence.
They look a shell Arsenal at the moment.
He's got to play players that have got some chance of running above the ground, like a Chamberlain or like a Ramsey.
You'd fancy Wigan to take them, wouldn't you, at the moment?
By the way, I'm eagerly waiting on the odds for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you for why. You know the bet I have every week.
Yeah. You get the draw in the
I get the draw. Well, I had Everton in the draw this week.
Yeah.
So when it's 2-0 at half time, I rang him and said, "I'll give you the draw if you want to double the bet."
Did he take it?
No.
Eight. Wait, no more on 8-1 Wigan.
8-1.
I thought they might be a bit better than that.
Oh no, that'll do me. That will do me. That they were 9-1. Then weren't they 9-1 in the cup final against Man City?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And 8. Oh yeah, I'll be on that one.
The bottom of the table.
Cardiff have gone, haven't they?
It looks that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Another manager who looked forlorn, didn't he, after the match? This defensively, they looked all over the place. Robbie was doing the match of the day analysis, and they just didn't really go after it, did they? Which was strange. 26 points they've got. Bottom of the table, Sunderland, 3 games in hand. They play tonight as we record this at Tottenham. All the guys predicted a Tottenham winning that, and that's what the bookies predict as well. So 25 points for Sunderland, depending on what happens later. 26 for Cardiff, 27 for Fulham. They're both on 33 points. And you've got the team we'll talk about in a second, Norwich on 32. West Brom are on 32, but have played a game less than Norwich. Swansea on 33. They're played 33 as well. Crystal Palace on 34. Fantastic win for them at Cardiff, landing Derek's bet of the week as well. Cardiff to win to nil. I think it was Cardiff got to score, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Crystal Palace to win to nil. Villa on 34. No Benteke, and a bad result for them as well at home to Fulham. Then Hull on 36. Are we definitely saying that Villa and Palace are safe?
I think Villa are just about all right. I think if Sunderland get beat tonight, I think you can kiss them goodnight as well.
Yeah.
That will virtually have used all their games in hand up on it.
No, they'll still have a couple.
This is that two more?
Yeah, two more games tonight. in hand after tonight. Those I can tell you what those games in hand are, actually. We've got a few kind of midweek fixtures where they catch up in the next week or so. One of them is away at Man City. So that's not really a game in hand that you want to boast about, is it? And the other one is at home to West Brom. So Sunderland's running is Tottenham away tonight. Sunderland have then got Everton at home, Man City away, Chelsea away, Cardiff at home, Man United away, West Brom at home, and Swansea at home. Not many winnable fixtures in there for a team who haven't won a game.
And who do look one of the worst three teams. And you mentioned before, are Villa and Palace safe? Well, they play each other at the weekend. A little draw there would definitely nudge them to safety, I would suggest.
They should be there, Ron, shouldn't they? You know, 34 looks a million miles away from, Fulham at the minute,
doesn't
it?
But I don't know, you know, you could get to the situation. What's Villa's running? I know they've got to play Southampton, I think. Have they?
Villa, let me give you their running, actually. Just opening it up here. The next game is the Palace one that Derek mentioned. Yeah. Then they've got Southampton at home, Swansea away, Hull at home, Man City away, and Tottenham away. Tough end to the season with those
two games.
You want to be safe by the start of May, don't you, really?
Yeah.
And chances are they could be, you know, picking up a point here and there, and that'll be enough, won't it?
It will, but they've no Benteke for the season. I tell you what, a lot of the Villa fans think that they might have to go to the last game of the season. For me, I'm going to go Cardiff and Sunderland now. I thought Sunderland would get out of it. I don't think they will now. They've been playing that. They've got a player that shouldn't be playing, haven't they?
Well, no, he's not playing now, but they got away with that, didn't they?
So, yeah, that's Altidore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. Norwich, obviously the team that everyone's talking about at the moment, only in terms of the relegation from the Premier League. The price, by the way, for Norwich to go down is 6-5. It's 1-10 Cardiff, 1-3 Sunderland, 4-11 Fulham, 6-5 Norwich, 7-1 West Brom, 10-1 Palace, Swansea 20s, as Villa 25s, and then 33s for Hull. Hundreds for West Ham. So the bookie's saying it's between the four of them.
It's
a gamble, Ron, isn't it? You know, I know they're in trouble anyway, but it's a gamble sacking your manager this close.
Yeah, but I think they would look at that and go, well, we've got to do something.
Yep.
Whether it's just give somebody a fresh impetus to go into the... I think it gives them a better chance at Fulham than they would have had prior to that. And I think Chris Hughton He's done not bad in his managerial career until he went to Norwich. Newcastle, he did well at Birmingham. But sometimes they've got to have something that might just galvanise it a bit more.
Yeah, that's true, man. I agree with that. Sometimes I'm not one of these who say, well, you know, you've got to have a show of better loyalty to a manager. If you're looking as though you're going to go down at a manager, get shut. But to put an under-18 coach in charge of the five games, how's that an improvement?
Well, I suppose you might say Tottenham are doing that. Tottenham did that in effect with...
That hasn't worked very well,
has it? Yeah. But it might well be that they say, all right, we can't get somebody in... In an ideal world, I think they'd want Malky Mackay in there. But we're not going to get him at this stage, this time now. Let's take some sort of a gamble. They probably looked at it and thought, well, we're going to go unless we do something.
Well, I don't see how, though. I know they've got a tough run in, but the 5 points clear of Fulham. Now, they might not even have to get a point to stay clear of Fulham.
I understand all that, although it'd be the lowest that any team's ever stayed up with.
Yeah.
34 is the lowest at the moment, isn't it?
The other thing is, with that West Brom defeat, that's the first home defeat in the Premier League.
They've won three and drawn three in the last six.
I mean, it's not the end of the world, that, is it?
Oh, no. No. But They probably look at the away fixtures and think, and the crowd have turned on them, haven't they? The crowd turned on them apparently Saturday, and then I've just heard the fellow Roberts, the big ex-centre forward who used to play for Ewan Roberts, just saying there was a poisonous atmosphere at the ground, which you don't associate with Norwich normally.
No, it's usually a bit of a fortress, isn't it?
So I suppose they've gone, well, we've got to do something. Maybe if they got a point against the Albion, they'd have kept him till the end of the season. So I can see possible logic in it. And I think I actually give them a better chance at Fulham now than I would have done.
Do you want to hear the Premier League longest serving managers, top 10?
I'll tell you them now.
Wenger. Pardew.
Pardew.
Allardyce. Rodgers. Yep. Lambert. Bruce. Pochettino. Hughes. Mourinho. And Moyes.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Moyes for Man United.
10th longest serving manager.
Oh my God, he's going to be in, yeah. Jeez, not for long, no.
60 hours of betting radio, week in, week out. Inplayradio.co.uk. Your eyes on a world of betting.
Chelsea have got the return leg against PSG. Chelsea, of course, trailing 3-1 from the first leg. They're 17-20 to win the tie, 23-10 to win to draw, and the price for PSG in 90 minutes is 7-2. And I say Chelsea to win the tie, obviously, I mean the 90 minutes to qualify. Chelsea are 9-4, PSG 2-7. Did they chuck it away, Ron, in the end?
I think the last goal is going to do them.
Yeah.
I think they'll score.
It'd be hard to see them not scoring, wouldn't it, really, with the players they've got?
I think PSG will score. The only thing about it is this home thing of Mourinho's. He does. They're a totally different team, Chelsea, at home, aren't they? They can get a result out of something, but I think they're chasing shadows a little bit in this. I think PSG are quite a very good side, in fact.
PSG 7-2, Lee. A very big price, but a top quality.
That's to win, Derek, isn't it? That's not to go through.
No, that's to win, yeah.
I'm not sure they'll win, but I wouldn't be surprised.
The reason I like them to win, Ron, is that, you know, Chelsea's got to go all out for an attack. And then PSG look like a team that'll catch you on the break as well.
I don't think Chelsea ever do that.
I think
they only ever do that in the last 15 minutes. Mm. I think Chelsea will stick at what they do, try and nick one before the first half, and then as the second half develops, if they can get on terms, fine. If they can't, in the last 15 minutes, they'll get the trumpets out. Mourinho's not that type. Mourinho's not the type to say we got him with five up front and all that. He'll be sticking at it and sticking at it and sticking at it. He'll be saying to his team, don't concede a goal. That would be their biggest fear.
I'm just, as I said at the weekend before the Stoke game, I'm looking through the list of Chelsea players, and if I'm a Paris player, I'm thinking, what's there? All right, Hazard maybe, but that's it. There's nothing there now. They're frightened you. I don't know what it is. Oscar's gone off the boil. You know, the Lampards and that, they're not going to frighten you.
He can't play the midfield player.
Who's that?
Matic, isn't he? What's his name, Matic?
Oh, yeah, Matic, yeah.
He can't play.
I'm I think 72 pounds. I know they don't have to win, Lee, but 72 is. But this is a team who went who nearly knocked Barcelona out at this stage last year. By the way, when Barcelona was supposed to be unbeatable, you know they're a good side. And Chelsea, I don't think are that great. I think 72 is a massive price.
Mm. Both teams to score, by the way, 4-5.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all, is it? It looks. I mean, like, I could go in a few hackers. I think. Don't have to worry about the result.
I think Chelsea will win the game, but I think the other team will score.
Yeah, Chelsea to win and both teams to score, by the way, is 3-1. That ain't a bad price either, really, compared to, you know, you're getting odds on for Chelsea to win the game. You know, a team like PSG with such a lot of great players in the side and great players who can score from nothing as well.
Yeah.
That's worth a look. But Chelsea going out, though.
Yeah,
I think so.
Borussia Dortmund versus Real Madrid. Borussia Dortmund are 23-10 to win at home, 23-10 the draw, and it's 6-5 the price for Real Madrid to win in the 90 minutes in Germany. Real Madrid, of course, lead 3-0 from the first leg. This tie's over, you would say. Kind of just put into perspective where these two teams are this season compared to last season. Such a long time in football, isn't it, Derek? And you know, this is a classic one for you, really, from a betting perspective, where you wonder if Real Madrid will need to and will have the desire or the requirement to go and win.
I always say, like, quite often in these kind of matches, you get the team that don't have to win, who are comfortably a better side, at odds on. I'll say, well, I'm never going to back a team that don't need to win at odds on. I won't do it.
Yeah.
But 6-5 is a different kettle of fish, and it's also Real Madrid, by the way, who can win just, you know, doing handstands if they care to. Mm. I think Dortmund are a bang ordinary side this season. I don't know quite what's happened to them. They got their best players leaving at the end of the season anyway, as well, which doesn't help. And Madrid, I think 6-5. I'm amazed at 6-5. I think they'll go to Dortmund and win comfortably.
Odds against does look very good, Ron, doesn't it? Because whoever they bring in,
it does. But I would think will they be quite as concerned about going out to win as maybe making sure that they protect what they've got? Okay, what was the draw price?
23-10.
Yeah, 23-10. Yeah.
I think I'd be more inclined to go for that, mate.
Mm.
I think you can imagine it. They'll have a right go, Dortmund. I mean, he does wind him up a bit, Klopp.
Mm.
He does wind him up a little bit, but and they've got pride to play. And the crowd there, like you said on many occasions, that crowd is phenomenal. You know, they go absolutely. It's probably the most fanatical crowd in Europe, I would think. So they got the pride. If Lewandowski's playing, they've got a bit more threat up front. But I think they'll just have it within their capacity to just see it out.
Yeah, Lewandowski scored at the weekend, Ron, so he scored a 2-1 whenever Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I'd go for a draw. We'd go for a draw on that.
Draw price. And 6-5 for Real Madrid for you, Derek.
Yeah, I like the look of that.
Man United 1-1, of course, from the first leg against Bayern Munich when they pretty much parked the bus and did it pretty well. Had plenty of chances, though. Vidic's goal levelled by Schweinsteiger, who was then sent off, of course, right near the end of the match for second yellow card and that foul on Wayne Rooney. And Man United go to Bayern Munich thinking, well, if we can do the same again, then who knows what will happen if we can frustrate the European champions. The price is 1-4 Bayern Munich to win in the 90 minutes, 9-2 the price for the draw, and Manchester United are 11-1 to win in Germany. To qualify, Bayern Munich are 1-9 and Manchester United are 5-1. Simple as that, Ron. They just go and set up the same way, frustrate and try and hit them.
Well,
on the
break. You know my take. I give them more of a chance than I thought I'd be giving them. I think the biggest problem they might have is if they think that they are now Manchester United and can go and destroy Munich in their own backyard. They've got to be prepared to sort of be humble and go there, play as deep as they did the other night, hang on and hang on and hang on, but keep two forwards up the park. Keep two forwards, certainly keep one, tell him he hasn't got to come back into his own half of the field and hit long balls. I was looking at that the other day in the match. I thought, if they could keep a forward upfield and hit balls into the channels, particularly, say, Welbeck, who's got a bit of zip about him, they could cause them a lot of problems. They could cause that defence problems. Now, thinking back, didn't Mourinho knock them out? When Mourinho won the European Cup, they played them, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he did that. That's exactly what he did. He had the fellow saying yesterday, that what's his name, Diego Melito up front. He played Samuel Eto'o on the right wing sort of thing, running back although I like 11 Valencia. And he didn't try and play in midfield. He kept hitting it over the top into the gullies and making the strikers chase it and turn them round. And it's pragmatic. If they go there and try and match them for ability and try and outplay them, I think they'll open the game up and get well stuffed. But I think if they're prepared to dig in like they did the other night and say, all right, we know we're going to have to spend most of the game camped on the edge of our own box, they have a chance. And 11-1 is... I can't ever remember in my life Manchester United ever being 11-1 anywhere, can you?
No, not even into going into Fergie time, 2-0 down.
No, it wouldn't be that.
I know, quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember that. So I think they have a chance. I think they have a chance, and I'd be prepared to... I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see it go into extra time. Mm. I tell you what I would do, if easy to pick somebody else's team. I'd have virtually the same back four. I don't know whether I'd play Ever instead of Butler. I might fancy Butler, to be fair, a little left back in this one. Because you don't want your left back raiding. You want your left back staying at home and playing against Robben. And then I'd play in midfield. I'd go Valencia, because he grafts and gets back and doubles up on people. I'd have him in there. I would have Carrick in there, because needs must. I wouldn't have Fellaini in there.
Fletcher.
I'd have Fletcher in there, and I'd have Kagawa. And I'd unless you went five in midfield and played, Kagawa on the left and dropped one a bit deeper. But I think if he goes to the sound of the trumpets, they'll get opened up and play. But I saw enough in Munich to know that they are beatable if you apply the right tactics.
Interesting. Yeah. I think there's two things that struck me about the first leg. One is that Bayern are nowhere near as good as I and most people thought. I mean, I know it's hard to say that after one match, but I've had that sneaking suspicion most of the season, to be honest.
Lost 1-0 in the Bundesliga, by the way.
Yeah, but they've already won it.
I know, but still, it's still pride, isn't it?
Yeah. They left everybody out there, didn't they?
But still, but you wonder, Derek, sorry to interrupt, you wonder, though, if they've just... When you're a fantastic team, you play at that top level all the time, having won the Bundesliga, started to rest players ahead of big games like this, you wonder if the edge has just come off them a tiny bit.
Well, you know what, when they were rated the best team in Europe and they won the European Cup, and I suppose they deserved that mantle, I kept looking at them thinking, how are they, though? How are they? You know, they never do anything that sort of makes me think, they are, you know, like Barcelona in the pomp a few seasons ago. Mm. But they were just, you know, got the job done all the time without really looking to, you know, then. But remember, Man City had been there this year and won. You know, Arsenal went there late last year and won. They weren't that particularly impressive in the first leg. The only thing I would say is that when they did need to step up a gear, they did. You know, when they went 1-0 down, they seemed to step up a gear for 10 minutes and then thought, yeah, job done, that'll do us. So that's a worry. Once and for Bayern, you know, I looked at this side before the first leg. I thought, yeah, Bayern are certainties, they'll go through, blah, blah. But I'm just warning signals, and 11-1 United. Yeah, they're deeply moderate side, United. But on their day, they're capable of going anywhere and winning, aren't they? You know, Bruni's fit anyway. There's something about that 11-1. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Bayern are being overrated here with those odds. I do. I just think there's something in it. I agree with Ron. They are beatable. They're a beatable side, Bayern.
I'd qualify all that, Derek, by saying it would take an absolute unbelievable, not performance. It was performance, but not quality, classic, outpassing them out, stripping them out, dribbling them out, but doggedness. They've got to go in. If they get ambitious, United, they'll get done.
Do you know, the kind of game you're thinking, Ron, is like an England international, where England to go one up against Argentina and batten down the hatches for the remaining, and you just sat there thinking, not another...
You know what, there was a time, you're not wrong there, because funny as you were saying that, I was thinking, there was a time in the 90s particularly when England could go away. I was more confident of England going away, like in the days of Butcher and people like that, and Robson in midfield, and people like that, of not getting beat.
Mm.
And I think it needs that type of performance. Yeah. When United won the Cup in 99, they frightened teams in Europe because they just went at them from all angles.
Yeah.
They had no tactical plan. They just had 11 energised players that just believed and kept going. They can't do that now.
They've got to go and
make it attritional. They've got to be pragmatic. They've got to sit behind the ball. They've got to focus, and they've got to be prepared, I think, to hit balls over the top into them front players.
you know what? At the weekend, Lee, we were talking about a team that were big price. I can't remember who it was now. Maybe it was Stoke. I don't know. Who were 11-1, I think they were. And then I looked at them with a 2-goal start, and they were odds on. And I thought, that's not big enough. That, you know, it's something. There's a massive difference between that. Well, United with a 2-goal start here are 6-5.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a big price in it. I mean, Bayern will probably go through, but United aren't a team that's going to get pulverised, are they?
What would that be? 6-5. What would it?
Just so over evens.
What would?
So you get the Man United win, you get the draw, and you get Man United losing by a single goal.
A single goal.
So yeah. If they lost by 2-1, 3-2, 1-0, you still get paid out.
I thought you said a 2-goal start.
Yeah, but that'll be a draw then. If Bayern win 2-0, that's a 2-all draw then, isn't it? Yeah. So
at kickoff, it's 2-0 to Man U basically, Ron.
Yeah.
On the bet.
That's decent.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That does look a big price.
6-5. I mean, that's the sort of price you were backing Man United at away from home in Champions League last season, isn't it?
Yeah.
6-5. Yeah. That would be, fascinating game. Devil's advocate, there's no chance we go back to the Bayern Munich that we've seen before in this competition and they steamroller. They find the gaps. They manage to break through this Man United back line.
Well, they can do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, don't forget. I mean, we talked about they didn't like Barcelona a year or so back. But what they did do, in all fairness, that they took Barcelona for 7 last season.
Yeah.
You know, they had a 7-0 aggregate and went to the semi-final. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to look at that. They've got that in the locker. Schweinsteiger's a big out. And I think the centre-half is as well. I think they're big outs, those two, for them. I'd be very interested. I mean, certainly, I mean, we think David Moyes basically is a little bit cautious anyway, we think.
Yeah.
And he will have to play that way. Then he'll have, but 11-1 is a massive price in what is now a knockout game, yeah, isn't it?
5-1 to qualify, that's the one where
you know what, that might be a better safer bet, because you wouldn't be surprised to see a 1-1 draw and penalty.
Yeah, 1-1 is 12-1
extra time.
12-1 for 1-1 is not bad either. It was 8-1 in the first leg, of course.
Yeah.
And with prices like this, Derek, there's no need really looking anywhere else if that's the viewpoint, is there? I mean, normally we'd be scouring to try and find some value. It's there staring you in the face, isn't it?
Well, it is. Buying it, you just know instinctively that Bayern are too short at 1-4, so you look to oppose that somehow.
Rooney to score and Man United to win, by the way, in 90 minutes is 20-1, which might attract a little bit of money. The prices for the Bayern Munich goal scorers are all odds on. Until you get to Shaqiri. So Ribery, Götze, Robin, Pizarro, Muller and Mandzukic are all odds on to score a goal in the match. Conversely for Man United, obviously, 7-2 Rooney, Welbeck's 5s, Hernandez 5s, Januzaj 6s, Kagawa 6s, Fellaini 6-1. If you fancy Vidic to get one in both legs, 16-1 to bag a goal. It might be that a set piece is where they get them from, by the way.
He gave it that elbow again, didn't he?
Fellaini. God, yeah. It was obvious that as well, wasn't it?
He's a disgrace. Disgrace. He is.
This follows hot on the heels from your comment that you preferred Suarez when he was biting people. But Fellaini, if he raises his arm, he should be banned for life. basically, Man United in some form. To qualify, there, what are you going for?
No, 6-5 United with a 2-goal start.
6-5 with a 2-goal start. And Ron, you fancy them to qualify?
I'd take the 5-1, yeah.
Okay. On the same night, we've got Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona. Another great game. Another game that finished 1-1. There wasn't an awful lot in it. Obviously, Atletico had a big blow in the match when they lost their star man, Diego Costa, but still managed to keep it going. Beat Villarreal on Saturday. 1-0 at home to keep their campaign motoring along in the La Liga. Barcelona also won 3-1.
I watched that. They weren't over convincing, you know.
Who, Barca?
Yeah.
No.
They got a penalty at a very good time when it looked all odds on that Betis would be more likely to. They got somebody in midfield playing from Betis, and Ndiaye. Is that the one who used to be at Villa or Stoke or somewhere?
I don't know.
Ron. Yeah, he played very well, actually. Yeah.
These odds, you know, I wonder whether if there's a Spanish firm of bookmakers and what their odds would be, because I just can't see why Barcelona are 6-5 favourites. They played 4 times all season. They've drawn 4 matches. And the league table says there's nothing between them either. And yet Atletico are 23-10, you know, 5 over, almost 5-2. and Barcelona 6-5. I don't understand. Is that just reputation here in England?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'm going for Madrid.
So I would. Yeah. That price would interest me. I was a bit, yeah, I was thinking more along, it might be another 1-1 and then go extra time and all that. But 5-2 would be a big temptation, I think. Home game. They're not frightened of him. The manager stirs them up for that game. Is he fit, Costa? Do you know that?
I think so. I don't think I've seen any big injury.
Was going to be a late call, I think, on him as far as I could. Because he went off with a hamstring injury, didn't he? There's nothing new on Monday. Obviously, maybe worth waiting to see. Because that would be a massive.
That'd be a massive blow. Well, yeah, a fully fit Costa would be a massive blow. One with limping a bit might not be.
No. Home form this season from Atletico has been tremendous as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They've lost once, and that was to Real Madrid, 2-0, and that was in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
So you know, in any kind of bigger tournament, if you like, bigger game, they drew 2-2 with Real Madrid, drew 0-0 with Barcelona, as Derek was mentioning before. Fascinating game.
2-2. I'm gonna go Atletico.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. He played for Sunderland, Ron. Alfred Ndiaye. Played for Sunderland in 2012-2013, played 16 games for him.
Only one way down after you leave Sunderland, isn't it?
Yeah, he went to Eskişehir, which is, I guess, is a Turkish team, yeah. Must be a
Where?
Turkish team. Eskişehir, oh my God, that is the hardest word to say in the world.
Turkish team?
Yeah, Eskişehir, Eskişehir, we'll go for. And then to Real Betis, yeah. So, yeah, it was a Premier League team beginning with S. We'll give you that. Just a quick run through of the Europa League matches. Benfica Alkmaar 4-11. Benfica 7-2 the draw. Alkmaar 8-1. 3-10 for Juve to beat Lyon at home. Lyon are 11-1. 19-5 the draw. Valencia versus Bale 4-7. 14-5 and 5-1. And the final match, Sevilla versus Porto 17-20. 23-10 and 7-2. The games, Benfica are leading 1-0 and going into their home, the away leg. Juve also winning 1-0. Bale have got a 3-0 win from the first leg. 3 away goals against Valencia. And Porto lead 1-0 with that single away goal going into the home leg against Sevilla. Some interesting games there. Oh, those 1-0s are poised beautifully, aren't they? I mean, if Bale throw that away, they're in trouble, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, a Swiss side in the semi-finals of the Europa League, it looks like.
Benfica will win, won't they?
Yeah, I like the look of Porto.
Benfica get a win. Porto where Sevilla.
Yeah, home to Sevilla. Away at Sevilla after the home. They scored the one goal in the first leg, yeah.
I'm not so sure Porto will go through. Sevilla would be a bit of a hotbed. And Sevilla got a... I know Porto got a great European record, but Sevilla got this... They won this 2 or 3 times, haven't they?
Yeah.
I'd go Sevilla. I'd go Juve. Because Lyon, just looking at that French league the other day, I mean, Lyon won that championship about 10 times on the run, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like an all comparative also run anyway. So I'd go Juve, Benfica. Just remind me, where were Bale at again?
The 3-0, the 3-0 up going, and it's in at Valencia.
At Valencia. Mm. No, Valencia won't pull up. No, so there's the 4 semi-finalists.
Yeah, I was going to try and work that out, but I can't. I can't find all the qualifier markets for those matches. But yeah, that's a nice little lacquer though to have that one. Chaps, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And we'll speak before the weekend.
Okay.
Cheers, Derek. Thanks, Ron.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.